It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to Naomi's Table for our Bible study today. And we've got in studio Connie Stemple around the table. Connie, welcome back.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you. I hope, ladies, that you have your Bibles open to Habakkuk chapter 2. Connie, what are we going to learn today?
Oh, well, we are going to dive into those first three verses of Habakkuk. And quick recap, remember, in the first chapter of Habakkuk, we had the prophet actually voicing a complaint to God about the just the evil in his culture of Judea of that day. And then God's answer saying he was going to bring the Chaldeans as punishment for them. Mm. And then the rest of chapter one was about Habakkuk saying, oh, Lord, how can you use someone more evil than Judah to punish Judah? And now we're going to have God's response. So we go to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. This is the kind of the end of Habakkuk's argument or complaint to God. And this is what it says. Habakkuk says, I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And when we hear those words watchpost, it makes us think of other places in the Bible where people looked for God's answer to questions, and also definitely, you know, in that day and time with the walled cities, they had watchmen on the wall who would look for danger and an approaching army. And so we get the idea that Habakkuk has just an eager anticipation of God's response. And so he is looking hard for God's response. And interesting enough, he says, I look out to see, because remember, this is a vision. God is revealing his answer to Habakkuk in a vision, and he's going to record it for us. And so it does also make us think about Psalm 85, verse 8, just the first section of it, and says, let me hear what God the Lord will speak. And that's how it's always been with God's people. They're looking to see what God would say to them. So that's what Habakkuk is doing. He's bold enough to kind of voice complaints to God, but now he knows he needs to listen to God. And so we have God's response in a vision. So verse 2 says, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that he may run who reads it. And verse 3 says, but still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. So we start out with Habakkuk is given this revelation in a vision, and God immediately commands him to write it down. And so we get the idea that God wants this to be a permanent record. He wants people to know it, and truly they're going to be responsible for knowing it. Write it on tablets. You know, they didn't really have paper and pencil like we did, or all the other ways of technology that we have nowadays, but they did write on clay tablets or other forms like that. And truly, this vision is the prophetic message from God. It makes us think of other places in the Bible where we know that God reveals what he wants his people to know through the prophets in vision. And just going to refer to Proverbs 29:18, where we're told, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. And so we see that God's vision is always goes along with his word. It doesn't contradict his word. God's law was what they had in the Old Testament. And so again, God's vision goes along with what he's already revealed to them. If we then go to the rest of this verse one, it sounds a little different. It says, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. And it's really kind of a Hebrew idiom for so that he who reads it can read it quickly, or transmit the message quickly, or act on it quickly. And so there's an element of just kind of a speed or haste, or at least definitely paying attention to this urgent message. And then we find out there's a waiting part of the message also, which I think is the hard part for all of us. God does things in his time, in his perfect time, but it's not always our time. And so verse 3 says, for still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. And actually that Hebrew for the hastens to the end, it means it pants toward the end like a runner. And so God's time is actually perfect. We think he might be slow, or we're like waiting a long time, but he makes it occur in the perfect time. And then again, when it says, if it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. The bottom line is, we've already seen that God is going to punish Judah for their sins, and he's going to use the Babylonians to do that. But also we're going to find out through the rest of Habakkuk that the Babylonians will also come to justice. And that's really what God is referring to here. He's telling Habakkuk, don't worry about the Babylonians. They also will see my justice. You're going to have to wait for it, but it will happen. There's another reference, though, in the New Testament where New Testament writer took that verse, if it seems slow, wait for it, it'll surely come and it will not delay. And that's in Hebrews and actually applies to the Lord Jesus coming. And so we see that, yes, God is going to bring the justice to the Babylonians, but also at the end of time, God brings justice to the earth. And the ultimate justice will come when Jesus returns and reigns. So that's in Hebrews 10:37. It's part of the reading for today. And you can take a look at that. But that's a great verse to look at. And then finally, when we talk about God's justice, we need to look at the end of time. And those of you who've been in the Bible probably remember that in Revelation, kind of the whole world system and everything that's opposed to God in our world is referred to as Babylon or Babylon the Great. And so if you go to Revelation chapters 17 and 18, we find out that at the end of time, God will judge and take care of Babylon the Great. And so in a sense, this prophecy applies there also because we find that God is making all things right in the end. And I would refer to what God said in Revelation 18 about Babylon the Great. And it's the same kind of thing. He will bring justice upon the earth in his time. Revelation 8:21 says, then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will be found no more. Mm. When we consider God's word and what he's saying to us, what we're really doing is we're finding out that we need to hold on to what God says because he will accomplish what he says he will do. And part of the life of faith is waiting for God to do what he said. You know, we can look at our circumstances, we can look at the world around us, but really what we need to do is hold on to what God has said because he is faithful and he will accomplish what he said he will do. Some of my favorite verses go along with this, and it has to do with, again, waiting for God's word and trusting in him. And this is Isaiah 40, verses 6 to 8. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. Grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. And so it's helping us see what is of permanent, lasting, eternal nature, and that's God and his word. And then if you look at the lifespan of a person, you know, we have 80 years, 90 years, maybe 100 if God blesses us, but we too will die. And so it's, again, knowing what's permanent and what's not. And I think that's part of the message of these first couple verses in Habakkuk. The prophet is reminded, God will do what he says he's going to do. His justice will come. It'll come at the right time. It'll come fully. We know from Deuteronomy, God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And so whenever we see wrong in the world, we can be assured God will deal with it.
He will indeed. But you know, in the culture we live in, waiting is not something that our society around the world reveres, is it?
Oh, definitely not. We always like things on our time because we think we know best.
And everything with technology is so instant now. All of our solutions are instant. And I think it's very hard for believers, especially, to not expect to wait for anything.
Exactly. So that's probably something God is working in each one of us to have patience.
Well, and it's such an incredible thing to be able to look at this through the eyes of this chapter in Habakkuk, especially learning how to wait on the Lord. Ladies, I hope you've really enjoyed this Bible study segment today. This particular 10-minute segment can be found on our website under the Bible Study tab, and you can go and just listen to just this part of it, and then open your Bible and look at the homework that Connie has provided. There are all sorts of different cross-references that you can go show, and there are several very good questions that you can answer. Take these lessons. Again, I just encourage you, if you want to do them alone, you are more than welcome to do that. But one of the things that we like to encourage is to gather other women around your kitchen table, or bring this to your church group if possible. But do this with other women that you disciple and shepherd, and make sure that they too are in the Word with you. We are meant to be in relationship, and that's what these Bible studies are all about, ladies. So you are welcome to download these and use them for however God is asking you to do that today. Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, more about this chapter and some other insights in just a moment. We'll be right back.